Good morning.
Good morning.
It's 1/23/2022, and I'm Paul Baalbek III. For anyone who doesn't know out there, we're at Faith Bible Adult Bible class, and this morning I'm teaching through Ephesians verse by verse, as you all know, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 21 through 23. So let's open up with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for getting us here safe with that snow out there. And we think of, Father, the prophecy about Christ, where what he would do, though our sins were as scarlet, they're white as snow, and may the snow remind us of that. That you've cleansed us of all of our sins, and you've declared us righteous and given us life in Christ. And we know to be absent from the body now, present with the Lord, that's gain. But if we're here, Father, help us to redeem the time, to reach out to the lost and to build up the saved, to be here for one another. And I pray your Holy Spirit just is the real teacher as always, Father. And also, I pray for the pastor as he teaches the message at church, that your Holy Spirit in him, that you would empower us, Father, that Christ would express your truth, your love, and his life through us, and equip the body for works, to do works of the ministry. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, thank you, Chris. See, Chris is already ministering. Must got a good stuff, Father. I taught you something, though. I come up short, Bill. It's good to have Bill back, and Lori, and good to see everybody that came out. Give you guys credit for coming out in this weather. So let's get right into it. Let's read the verses first. Then I always say there's a difference of reading and studying, right? You say, how could I get, say, 45 minutes with three verses? You know, most pastors I heard on a Christian radio station that are Bible teachers, that all they got is about 10 minutes of content, and then they're telling stories. I never had that problem, as you know. See, when you study, you know, you got a lot to teach. And usually what you've already studied is a lot more than what you're teaching out there. Yeah, because you wouldn't have time. So anyway, let's read Ephesians 1, 21 through 23. Let me get to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Okay, so we just jumped in there, right? You always got to look at the context, so we're going to back up the verse to, we're going to read 20 and 21, then I'm going to start teaching there. Because when you look at 21, just far above, what's far above all principality and power? See why context is so important when you're studying, when you're teaching? That's why it's good. I think the best way to teach is expository. You know, you go verse by verse by verse. It keeps the Bible teacher and pastor honest. You know, they can't just take a verse, and that's being done. Watch Christian TV, you know, and using a verse out of its context and teaching something else. I remember a very popular pastor, he's still on TV, he's an older guy, but he actually admitted, he said, I'm going to take this verse out of context. And he was talking about, he was mixing psychobabble, and he was saying where Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, that verse I'm talking about. And before he got, he's talking about immature. And then he's talking about how the sign gifts are going to go off the scene when that which is perfect, and in the Greek, that's in the neuter, it's not Christ, has come. It's a thing, not a person. Amen. So when the Word of God was completed, well, I'll give him credit, he was honest, and he started teaching how we're all little children inside and psychobabble. But so I give him credit for being honest, he took it out of context, but you don't do that with the Word of God. You got to have integrity with the Word of God. When we share the Word of God with people, you need to be accurate with the Word of God. That's why you need to study it and study it in context and rightly divide it, right? So let's back up to and read 20 and 21. Which he wrought in Christ. See, now we know who Paul's talking about, right? Because context. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So what are we talking about here? Not Christ in his early ministry, right? Ministering to Israel under law. You know, that's where most churches are going to be teaching them this morning. Or they're going to be going back to Acts. You know, if like I said, you get them popping churches like I used to go to, Pentecostal Charismatic Church. They want to go back to Acts, you know, and then they try and act like they're doing what they were doing in early Acts. And I never seen anybody raise a dead, have you? Or a hand being, you know, I hear about headaches getting healed and, you know, they claim stomach, something you can't see, you know. But when we're talking about we follow Christ in his heavenly ministry, what did Christ, what were some commands he gave? Sell everything you have, come follow me, right? In order to be saved back then, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you had to sell everything. And even after Pentecost, they sold everything they had, didn't they? And they laid it at the apostles' feet, and they distributed as all had need. Well, you got, I don't know if, Ray, I think you would know, remember Cornerstone magazine? Yeah. Anyway, their ministry. And they all commune together. They sell everything. That don't work today, you know. But back then, they were filled with the Spirit in a different way, you know, than God works today, right? So they had to sell everything. Christ told them, the Pharisees sit in, or, you know, the leaders sit in Moses' seat. So do what they say. What's that? The law. So follow the law. He said, just don't do what they do. They were fake. So they had to keep the law, see? So we don't, today, what did Christ reveal from heaven to Apostle Paul? That Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, right? Because you're not under law, you're under grace. That's pretty clear, right? But when was that revealed? From Christ's heavenly ministry, right? So if you look in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So now this is after his resurrection, right? But it doesn't stop there. And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now we're talking about his ascension and glorification at the right hand of the Father, right? And we're seated with him. If you look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In our union with him, we know him in his heavenly ministry. We're supposed to follow him in his heavenly ministry. We can read Matthew, Luke, and John, right? And we can learn things. We see Christ, he wept over Israel. He, you know, he had such a heart for the lost. He had such a heart for loss. He, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, the shame of the cross, a criminal's cross, for us, right? But we better know where to get our instructions from, because God gives dispenses different instructions to different people in different dispensations and ages, doesn't he? Amen. So we're talking about Christ and his heavenly ministry. And look at this. Far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but that which has come. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. This our apostle always asks when you're studying, get that in your head to make a habit. Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? So Paul's writing this, right? He's writing to the Corinthians, which are members of the body of Christ. And he said, wherefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. See, we don't look at people outwardly, black, white, Jewish, Gentile, male, female, right? Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, where's that at? When did Christ come in the flesh? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? That was his ministry to Israel. He said, I only came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he told them in the beginning, don't go to the Gentiles, didn't he? Well, if you're going to follow Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then you better go to Israel and don't be going to no Gentiles. You know, later that program developed and they were supposed to go into all the world, right? But beginning in Israel, then Judea, then Samaria, then all parts of the world. Did Peter and the 12 ever do that? No. They never got out of Jerusalem. Why? Because they never trusted in Christ as their Messiah and King. So what did God do? How is God going to reach the Gentiles? That was his prophesied known plan, right? How's he going to reach? Because God always wanted to reach the Gentiles. Ever since the Tower of Babel, when they went their own way, they didn't like God. So they made their own gods, like an image of man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling things. Just look at Hinduism. They worship cows. I've seen them feeding grain to rats in the temple. And they worship that. You know, when you turn away from God, you're turning away from light. You're going into to darkness. And then read Romans chapter 1. You find out what happened at that time. But anyway, God always had a plan to reach the Gentiles. So Satan thought he could, you know, hang with God. And he thinks he's as wise as God. And he thought if he could corrupt the nation Israel, nothing, the Gentiles can't be reached. Well, God had himself kept a little secret. God can keep a secret, can you? Gospels ain't too good at keeping secrets, right? But anyway, God kept a secret that it was, I'm teaching on Facebook on the Thursday night Bible study through the book of Romans. So we're in Romans chapter 11. So Romans chapters 9, Israel's past. Chapter 10, Israel's present. Chapter 11, Israel's future. And God ain't done with that nation yet. But what he did, he temporarily set that program and the prophesied program. So we live in an unprophesied time. It was never known, time of the mystery, right? In time past. It was unsearchable, Paul says. And so now it's through Israel's temporarily being set aside through their fall that Christ in Acts chapter 9 saved Paul, right? And sent Paul, and Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles. Say, and Satan didn't know this either. He thought he could corrupt Israel. That's it, right? Let's kill our Messiah. That's it. And what happened? It was through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now we find out through Paul that when he gets saved, he says in 1 Timothy verse 15 or 16, I think it's 15, that he was saved as a pattern for those who would believe thereafter. So now God, with saving Paul, brings in the dispensation of grace, starts forming the body of Christ, right, to fill the heavens in those places of authority. God is so wise. Let me just jump. You don't got to go there. You can stay here because I'm going to read this. Romans chapter 11. And forgive me because I asked you to turn your cell phone down. Us short guys are a little late, you know what I mean, Bill? Romans chapter, yeah, I just want to read this to you. Romans chapter 11, verse 32. 2. For God has concluded them all in unbelief. So the Gentiles and the Jews, right? That he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches about the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past past finding out. I'm just think that brought, you know, when you think of what God did, keeping that secret, how wise he was and how foolish he made Satan look. That's why Satan hates the message and the mystery. We remind, Paul says that we should have an impact and imprint amongst the principalities and powers. Angels learn from us. In time past, God spoke to angels and Israel learned from them. Today, through the body of Christ, angels are learning from us. You might have one somewhere around here. I don't know. Because I'll tell you, angels just got to have their mouths dropped and all. Because see, the ones that didn't fall, they didn't really understand God's grace. That's why sometimes people are very moral. They don't get they need to be saved because they think they're moral. You know, they don't think they're that bad. Well, angels, you know how they learn about God's grace to us. And I'm sure sometime they go, that person's indwelt by Christ from what I'm hearing. Yeah. And we're justified, totally righteous in him. Because God, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. If you're in Christ, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Because he's in you. God's declared you righteous. He's gave you a completely new righteous, new nature that just wants to serve God. And I just come to my mind, I'm proud of you, brother. I see that. Oscar's a young guy. I think you're a good example for younger people in this church. You know, he's wanting to serve God and be used by God. And to me, that's a good role model. You know? And we pray that. Me and Ray were talking on the phone the other day, and we prayed about that. The young people that are carrying the torch, you know, beyond, we're all getting older. I mean, look at Bill. Dude's like a 90-year-old. Welcome back, Bill. My sidekick was out for a while.
You're going to be 17 this year.
17. Yeah, Lori told me that too. Sometime you act 17. Anyways, angels are learning from us as we preach, as we share, and not only that, principalities and powers and mights of Satan's dominions. We remind them how foolish they were to follow Satan. And we remind Satan, and he hates it.
Yeah, they can't change either.
That's why as a grace believer, you have a target on your back. And I do too. Especially, I think, the pastors and Bible teachers. Because if they fall, it affects a lot of other people. You know, when I used to be a full-time pastor, when I co-pastored the church, I used to try and be on time. And you know what I told the people? I said, why do you think I try and be on time? And why do you think I don't go fall in the, like there have been pastors, and I'm not going to mention his name, I'm sure you all think about him, that fell in with prostitution and stuff. I said, you know, like we didn't take salary, but you know, I train dogs, and I still do professionally, and so I would drive up Cicero Avenue, and you got all these prostitutes, hey, you know, waving at you. And I said, why do you think I don't, I'm a man, and your pastor's a man, let me tell you. So don't think that all of us have a sin nature, and we're capable of things, but if not for the grace of God, where would we be? But so that's why you pray for your pastor and the Bible teachers. But I said, why do you think I don't just pull over? Why do you think I try and make it to church on time? Of course, I didn't live as far as here. But even here, I try and get out on time. I said, because I love yous. And when you love somebody, you don't want people to worry you. You don't want to make them worry. You don't want to hurt. That's grace. You know, that's all of us, you know, want to be there for each other, and we don't want to hurt each other, and we want to watch what we say to one another.
Well,
because words hurt, you know. But so back to 2 Corinthians 5:15-16. And he says, I didn't read 15 the first time, did I? And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live on themselves. See, God, and Paul tells us to have the mind of Christ, right? What did Christ do? He sacrificed himself. He had a right not to go die, right? He did what was best for us. And so we as a body of Christ, we do what's best for one another. We don't get puffed up and think, you know, oh, I got to love myself, or I can't love other people more, like Psycho Bible will teach you. Paul says to die to self, right? He didn't say love yourself. You love yourself, you'll be narcissistic, and you'll be self-centered, and you'll be selfish. We're supposed to pour out our lives. Paul's our pattern not only for salvation, it's for life. Look at Paul, how he lived. Nothing stopped him. He gave his life. You know, he was in jail for carrying out the gospel. He was whipped with the cat of nine tails. Was that five times? And he was beat three times with rods. He was stoned, and not from weed. And he got stoned by the bricks. And what kept him going? The grace of God. And he didn't depend on his own strength. He said the labor was God working in him. I can do all things through Christ. What are you facing today? I don't care what it is. God is bigger. Christ is in you. We can do all things through Christ. And see, that's appropriating by faith. You have to take what you know, and when you're facing things in its life, because we face tough things. We live in a fallen world, right? If you look at through a life with rose-colored glasses and think, oh, because I'm a Christian, you know, God's got this hedge of protection around me, like that's taught. You're going to, when a reality hits you in the face, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be depressed. You're going to wonder, God, how come? How could you let this happen to me? I've been serving you. Look at Paul. You know, he went through a lot. And Paul was, yeah, and he finally, Bill just reminded me, or will you say I need to shave? He's going, he got his head cut off at the end, according to history, I guess. But you know what he said, and I pray this all the time. He says, I want to finish my race with joy. Right. Yeah, I want to finish my race. You know, we make decisions every day, right? And we can, you're one decision away from going the wrong way in your life, from destroying your testimony, you know, your effectiveness. Just one decision. We need to keep that in our mind, don't we? Because Satan, remember the Jews looked back to Egypt? And then, what's his name? Was it Lot's wife? Looked back to Sodom and Gomorrah, turned to salt. And they talked about we miss the spices and all them good things. They forget they were in slavery. And sometimes we forget. Before we were saved, we were under the control of Satan, going on a course of this world. We'll be getting into that in Ephesians, right? And Paul says, those things that you're now ashamed of, we're freed from that. Let's not get back into what Christ so preciously bought our freedom with his blood on that cross. We're freed to serve. That's what Paul's talking about here. For the love of Christ, in verse 14, constrains us. That means compels us. It's the wind in our sail. That's the motivation for serving God. Love and grace. Grace teaches us, right? Say, deny ungodliness to the upright and godly. To be a people zealous for good works. And he says, because thus we judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. We were dead, We died who we were in Adam, Romans chapter 6. We're buried, never to come back. And you rose with Christ, right? Now you have resurrection life. And that's what in Ephesians, Paul's trying to get people to see. Believers need to understand you have resurrection life in you. Whatever you face, you can do it through Christ.
Amen.
I think back when I was in the hospital, you said, oh, he's going to go back there again. Well, you know what? That's my testimony. And that was a painful testimony, so I'm going to use it well. You know, 4 months in the hospital in pain and 2 months in physical rehab. And I had to appropriate by faith that I could do every day, every time I felt pain. Thank you, Father. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You feeling any pain? You going through anything? Then you need to learn to take what you know and apply it. That's how you grow. It's not just knowing the stuff. It's taking what you know and applying it. And he says in verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, we have known Christ after the flesh, but now henceforth we know him no more. What's he talking about? We don't follow Christ. We don't know him intimately in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. In heaven, and as head of the body of Christ, he's the head, we're the body, right? Many members, one body, one head. We're in union with him. We should get to want to know him intimately, to know him and the power of his resurrection, power of his might. You got resurrection life in you. But we got appropriate. When we apply what the Holy Spirit, God breathed out, and he inspired his spirit and wrote, we got to take them things in the details of our lives, what we're facing. Sometime even when things are good, sometime we get our mind off God. It's like when you're going through tough times, you're praying more, right? Usually. Or you're getting your mind off God because you're mad at him, or it's like he's supposed to give you everything you want. When he's so loving and he's so caring and he cares about us, and the God of all compassion that comforts us in everything we go through, and then what? So we can comfort one another, minister to one another. Who better to help and minister and counsel someone than somebody who's been there? Right? If you ain't been there, all you can do is read some books on counseling. But you won't have that compassion. You won't have that understanding. I know what they're thinking. And then when they try and lie to you, you go, I've been there, bro. Yeah. I can't help myself. Oh, really? Are you a Christian? Well, yeah. But I'm a victim, and I can't help myself. Can you do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Well, yeah. Then what are you telling me you can't? You see what I mean? Some people you get straight up like that. Other people you got to be very gentle, you know, because we're all struggling in different areas, you know, and we need to be there. And I love this church because we are there for one another. We're demonstrating the love of Christ. When people ask me, why do you drive all the way out there? And I tell them, because my pastor teaches verse by verse. He rightly divides God's word in context. And he's a really caring pastor. And we have a lot of love in our church.
Amen.
We got a church family. When we're going through stuff, when I was in the hospital, yous were there for Mary. A lot of yous helped out slipping her envelopes because I couldn't work in the hospital. I was working the gospel to everybody. But, you know, I couldn't bring no money in. And the body of Christ was there for us. That's why we love this church. That's why I love serving in this church.
Because the truth is taught here.
Amen. That's because the word rightly divided. And when you rightly divide the word, because it's God's word of truth. So the truth is taught, but it's taught in context. So we don't know Christ according to the flesh anymore. We know about him. We have known. You learn things when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You can learn dispensational principles. But boy, you try and follow Christ back then, where he gave his apostles power over cast out demons and to heal the sick, raise the dead, and people are trying to do that today, but they ain't doing it. You know what they do? What they can get emotionally worked up. And then they tell them, you got to keep confessing you're healed. I don't see that in Scripture. When Christ healed them, he healed them. There was like one instance, I think, where he told the guy to go wash in the pool. But when he healed them, he healed them. Now to me, when you're saying you're healed and you're not, you're lying. That's lying. And that's what people are doing. I'm healed. You'll see on TV, right? People going up there and they're, yeah, I got healed. Well, they told them you got to confess you're healed. But I know in Benny Hinn's thing, I've researched that word in faith movement, even the roots. If you know the roots are bad, it doesn't come from, actually the Bible comes from the metaphysical cults, and then they copied it and they passed it on. But Benny Hinn used to have the ones in the wheelchairs, the real ones in the back, that came to get healed. He didn't bring them up. So let's go to Romans 16:25. Romans chapter 16:25. So if we don't know Christ according to the flesh, then how are we supposed to know him? Romans 16:25. Now to him, time our God, that is of power. Look at that word, boy. To establish you, or in my New King James, it said establish you, according to my gospel, Paul's gospel. You get saved by the gospel Christ gave Paul from heaven, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again, and you're saved by grace. See, it's not, I believe that, but now I got to commit my life and turn from all my sins, and I got to get water baptized, and I got to make all new friends. I quit going to the dance hall, and I go to the prayer hall. You know, well, a lot of things will fall off our life as we're growing, so don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is you're saved by grace, unmerited favor. That means you can't earn it. Nothing we can do. And if you look at the verses all up there, Paul keeps saying you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your sin nature, and God made you alive, resurrected you with Christ, right? And so we're saved by grace through faith. What's faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I choose to believe that Christ died personally for my sins. And it's not of myself. Even the faith. Faith ain't a work if it ain't of ourselves, because faith comes by hearing by the word of God, right? And it's a gift to God, not a works, right? So that's how someone gets saved today. And we receive, Christ died for everyone's sins, didn't he? God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins to him. But see, a dead person needs life. See, until a person trusts that he died my death, I identify myself with him. I'm a sinner. God demonstrated his love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? That moment, God takes what he places us into Christ's death. It's effective to us. And he declares us righteous, right? He takes us out of Adam, places us into Christ. That should be exciting to us. You're in Christ. Most of the world ain't. Most of the world are like the land of the living dead. Remember that movie? Zombies walking around. They're walking around, walking according to the course of this world. Satan's course. And we're alive. We're children of light. God took us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of his son, right? We're children of the light, that spiritual kingdom. And now, in the world, you can shine in darkness. And when you're appropriating by faith and applying these things to your personal life, and you're growing, and you're getting more intimate with God and more intimate with Christ because you're spending time in the Word of God that worketh in you, energizes you, it renews our mind. We start thinking like God. We start talking like God. You know, we start, Christ is expressing Himself to us. And then we're lighting the world and our lives adorn the gospel. It makes people attracted to it because they see in you something they know, especially today, a lot of fear today, ain't it? And they see this confidence in you. They see this peace. They see this joy. And especially when you're loving and you're there for people, they see that love that they don't see in the world. Because the world says what? God, look out for me. Nah. He ain't heavy. He's my brother, my sister. God, look out for each other. Right? And so here, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you, or establish you, according to my gospel, so that's how you get saved, by Christ gave Paul that gospel. That's the gospel saves today. It's not repent and be baptized for the remission of sins on Pentecost. That's the kingdom gospel to Israel.
Amen.
Right? And he says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, how are we supposed to preach Christ today? Is it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Is it in the Old Testament? All the prophecies about Christ?
No.
What's it say? The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And listen to this. Which was kept secret since the world began. God had a secret. Right? Paul calls it a mystery. I think Pastor Stammy said, so I steal stuff if it works. I'm like a comedian. Got a good joke, it's mine. You know, but I'll try and give people credit. But sometimes you don't even remember who you heard it from. And, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes says. So that person probably might have got it from somebody else or just studying the Word of God. And he called it the sacred secret. I like that. The sacred secret. The mystery. It's sacred. And it was kept since the world began, when God created everything, right? In the beginning, right? God created the heavens and the earth. They started rightly dividing right away. I got that from Dave. Read that hundreds of times and never caught that. Dave was such a good, I was listening to him yesterday, such a good Bible teacher. And I got to watch, I don't try and compare myself, and I hope you don't. Because Dave is different. And it doesn't matter the person, it's the Holy Spirit expressing Himself through their personality.
Amen.
But Dave studied, man. You could just see. I would always learn from Dave. You know. And anyway, he says, according to the revelation and mystery was that was kept secret since the world began. So God kept a secret in eternity's past. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, if you want, and the eternity past, knew they were going to do something. But they never let Satan know. He didn't know. And so, since the world began, it was never proclaimed. What was proclaimed? A kingdom coming. Christ was king, Messiah, right? And he ruled over the Gentiles, Israel through Israel and then to the world, right? But his heavenly ministry, this mystery, that whole body of truth to the body of Christ, you can't find even that term, title, outside of Paul's epistles. Because God is doing a new thing in our dispensation. I don't know if you remember DC Talk. But that's how we get established. That's how we get built up. In the mystery. How sad. Most, not all denominations, that I don't know any that teach the mystery. Paul's unique apostleship. Most of them don't even rightly divide the word. Some do, but from an Acts a premature, I call them premature dispensationalists, from an Acts 2 perspective, where they think the church began in Acts 2. Well, then if it did, then don't tell people that baptism is a testimony, your first testimony, because Peter didn't say that. He said repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And don't tell charismatics and Pentecostals that they're wrong for what they do, because as is going on in Pentecost, it's only, you know, the only answer to all the erroneous doctrines that blow to and fro, and Satan uses false ministers of righteousness. They transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Because no wonder, because Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. You know the answer to stop, to establish the body, members in the body of Christ? The mystery. Rightly divide the word. Understand the mystery. And don't stop there. Apply those truths in Paul's epistles. That's where we find the mystery. Go to Ephesians 5. What time does Sunday school end?
10:30.
Awesome. This last thing I'm going to do. Ephesians 5. 29 through 32. Ephesians 5, 29 through 32. This is what grace should teach us. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. For you who struggle with swearing, that's to you. It should not come out of our mouths. You know why? When unbelievers see that, one thing is coming through our flesh. We don't want the flesh expressing itself to us. We're supposed to reckon ourselves dead, this sin nature, and alive to God, right? But I see some grace believers think, no big thing about swearing. We're under grace. Oh, Paul's getting legalistic today. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, see, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. Here's what grieves the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, that's loud screaming, just loud speaking, and evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. That's, I'm going to get you back. See, Paul wants us to apply what he's the doctrine he gives us and the exhortation. And be, see, instead of doing that, put off the old man, put on the new, and be ye kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. God's forgiven us for everything. So, I had, as always, more verses, but I'm just going to read you, and we'll close up. So, this is part of Christ's relationship to the church, which is his body. Our union with Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. We should look at life through a heavenly perspective, knowing whatever goes on in this world is soon to be passed. Knowing that even when we lose loved ones, that we're going to see them again, we're going to meet them in the clouds. And it's just a temporarily, I'll see you in a bit. I'm going to see my mother again, you're going to see Ed again. You know, think of people, we're going to see different people in this church who have went to be with the Lord, and it's going to be like you're talking about a family reunion. You know, and there's that hope, and you comfort one another. And so that's part of the mystery that Christ unfolded to Paul after he was in his exalted position at the right hand of the Father. In time past, God's word spoke of different churches, right? Such as the church in the wilderness that Stephen talked about. That's when God called Israel out of Egypt. And also those who started with John the Baptist ministry, repent and be baptized. Why? The kingdom of heaven's at hand. It was time. That's why Christ was, you know, next thing on their agenda, the trib. Christ was preparing them for the trib, and he told them, you got to persevere till the end of the trib. That's not our Christian life. That's not the Christian life. But anyway, that church began with John the Baptist and the early kingdom gospel, who trusted in, and also in, who trusted in Christ as their Messiah. Christ spoke of building his kingdom church, and after Pentecost, so that was that church, that remnant of believers out of Israel that God called out, and they were added to. See, that church was established before even Pentecost, and there was added to them, right? Peter says. And so Christ spoke of building this kingdom church, and after Pentecost, after hearing Peter and the other kingdom apostles preach the gospel of the kingdom to the nation Israel, more became part. But only the Apostle Paul writes to and about the body of Christ. If we as members of the body of Christ want to know our identity in Christ, who you've been made in Christ, our relationship and oneness and our union with Christ, and our instructions and our promises and God's will for us today in the dispensation of grace, then we need to study them as revealed in Apostle Paul's epistles. Romans to Philemon. If we want to grow spiritually, you study it, and what? You apply it, depending on the Holy Spirit to teach you and strengthen you. For Christ appointed Paul as a steward and dispenser of God's will in the age of grace we live in. Praise God we have a church, and there's other churches out there, you know, if we're not the only ones. But I'll tell you, the majority ain't teaching Paul's gospel or the mystery. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for opening up our understanding by your Holy Spirit to these truths of the mystery and Paul's unique apostleship, the finality of the cross and the reality of the resurrection, and how we're seated with Christ and in union with him as he's seated at your right hand in authority and power above, and he's above every principality, power, might, and dominion, not only now, but in the ages to come. And we thank you, Lord. I pray if there's one who's never trusted in your Son, that today they'll place their faith that Christ died personally for their sins, that they recognize they're a sinner that can't save themselves, and that he was buried and he rose victorious over death. And when they'll come empty-handed, Father, you'll take what Christ accomplished, the forgiveness of sins, and all of our sins are past, present, and future, and you'll declare them righteous, right with you, and then you can give them eternal life, spiritual resurrection life. I pray they'll make that decision, not put it off. And for us, Father, I pray that know you, Lord, fill our hearts with such a desire to reach the lost. Let your love fill our hearts. Let us see people, whether they're saved or not, the way you look at them. And then to be there to edify one another in love. In Jesus' name I pray.